Julia Tausch.
Finally, sooner or later indeed, Matt Carney begins. And just briefly, I would like to discuss this because I want to get to something that Josh Jacobs said last week. Before we have even more conversations today with Matt LaFleur, with, I believe, six players that we're going to get to talk to today. I'm hoping Zach Tom is among them. How many games in a row have the Brewers won now?
Eight.
Eight in a row. Can we not do the, since he's not here and he's on jury duty, can we not do the, hey, way to go, Jesse, way to light a fire under them and the manager? Can't we just say that Jesse was wrong and move on? That he was premature, that he spoke out of turn. Like I feel like we've given him credit he doesn't deserve for them getting their act together. Can we agree on that, or are you insistent on giving Jesse credit for getting the Brewers going with his "I'm not saying, I'm just saying"? The manager's seat should be warm.
I'm going to give him a little credit. Obviously, the players and the coaches and what they've done is they've been fantastic. And Christian Yelich is player of the week, and he's hitting a bomb last night to take a lead. It always comes back to the players. But I do think, and this is the hard part about a small market team, when you lose guys, I think there's like a – and this is why I always get irritated in September when the Brewers are humming along and it's, oh, well, they're a great season, but they can't compete with the Dodgers and the Mets. And okay, I do think there is almost a sense of inevitability that things will catch up, even if the Brewers have a good season. And when they don't, it's almost as if like, that's just kind of baked into the cake of the revenue system and how the Major League Baseball mechanics work. And I've always thought, well, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, the odds will tell you it's going to be that way. But what Pat Murphy did last year deserved a ton of credit. And when the season started off a little sluggish like it did, Pat Murphy got some criticism. But do I think Jesse had any way, shape, or form helped the Brewers win eight games? No. But what I do think is, when you're a fan base that holds people, I don't want to say feet to the fire, but there is a standard that obviously you don't see in Colorado or in Chicago with the White Sox. You don't want to just give in. I don't want our fans to ever just sit here and say, oh, well, they lost so-and-so.
Resignation.
Oh, Woody's got to get back. I just don't ever want to be that fan base. And that's why I gave Jesse some credit, because it was absurd to think that Pat Murphy in his second year, after being manager of the year and you have a little bit of a blip, you're going to start asking to fire him. That's why we gave him grief that we did. But I like the general thought process of just because, we are back up against it a little bit. We don't have the same revenue and we don't have the same resources that
Margin
the New Yorks error. And that the L.A. But I don't ever want to get to the point of meh, and just fatigue, and oh well, this is just how it goes. I don't ever want to be a fan of a team like that. And that's where I think when you do have some criticism, you don't want apathy, is I guess the word I'm looking for. And apathy is just like, oh, you put your hands up, but what are we supposed to do? Pat Murphy didn't say that. Pat Murphy's like, yeah, we got to get tougher. We got to get more grit.
Yeah,
we got to fight. We're not fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the team has responded. And I think for Wisconsinites, I think we love the fact we always like a good underdog story, and we always like when a team responds to adversity. Whether or not this season is going to be star-spangled awesome, this has been a great run. Hopefully you can get to 12 so you can go eat some burgers, and you can get that would be awesome. But you dug yourself out of that hole, and I'm not crediting Jesse, but what I am saying is, I don't ever want to hear our fans or Wisconsin sports fans just say, "Nah, that's just the way it is. There's nothing we can do about it." Because that is a polluted mindset.
Thank you, Mike McCarthy. All right, I want to get to something Josh Jacobs said last week. We'll do that coming up. I want to remind you, it doesn't matter if it's the series on Damian Lillard or on Bucks and Six and Brandon Jennings or the Olympics or the Giannis documentary. Everything you could possibly need in terms of storytelling when it comes to the Bucks is on the Behind the Bucks podcast, presented by Gallagher. You can find that on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. We'll get to Josh Jacobs and him lighting the fire like Billy Joel next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I'll be headed to Lambeau Field in a little while here. The Packers have their OTA practice kicking off at 11:25. It is the second open to the media session, second and final. And we've got the mandatory minicamp next week. It is not open to fans, despite Tausch and I agreeing they should.
I don't know how much time you're spending on it. You don't spend much of time on Twitter anymore. But
I do
is
not.
This a real thing? Where they have a kangaroo as a service animal, and the kangaroo is sitting in the seat, buckled up, eating peanuts. Is that AI fake or is that real?
Send me the link, Tausch, and I'll look into it.
I mean, if that's the case, could you imagine jumping on a plane and you're going to, let's say you're going Green Bay to Florida, and you end up sitting next to, is there something weirder that you'd sit next to than a kangaroo?
No, I would love that. Count me in. I'd even sit in the middle seat if it meant sitting next to a kangaroo on my flight. If it's real and Eleanor signed off on it, would you go kangaroo instead of dog?
Ooh. Ooh, that is a really good question.
According to Grok, it is AI generated.
But I saw the reason because I saw it twice. I think a woman tried to bring it on as
a service animal, and then somebody created an AI one.
Hunter, let's be honest. There have been some pretty ridiculous.
I saw one of her trying to bring it on the plane. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was that Grok too? Was that AI?
No, I think that was legit.
Yep, and then someone used AI to make a video that looks like it's there chilling, eating some peanuts.
Was he smoking too, or was he doing anything else?
Yeah, well, AI.
Come on,
it was
Jason, that's ridiculous. You can't smoke on an airplane. Come on, dude.
Not even kangaroos. He was vaping.
But the gal brought the kangaroo to the airport to get the kangaroo.
I think
right to where you check tickets. Yeah. That was real or was that fake too then?
I don't know. We'll have to do some research on that.
I'll keep researching.
I don't think I'd want a kangaroo as a pet. Those kangaroos will kick you. That is a strong animal. I think a kangaroo, you get in a wrestling match with a kangaroo, I don't know if that's – you're going to be kickboxing you and you're going to get jabbed. That ain't going to be no easy fight.
That's true.
Turns out the other one is also AI generated.
Oh, no!
Both of them are fakes. This is why I don't like the internet anymore. It's not as fun.
What world are we – I mean, this is only going to get a lot worse. How am I going to be able to – is there going to be some type of safeguards that we can know? Like, I thought that this kangaroo sitting in a seat was fake. I thought the kangaroo checking in was real. So I was wrong. On one, right on the other.
Batting 500.
Yeah, that's a what a world, what a world. All right, what did Josh Jacobs do? Did he take a kangaroo to?
No, let's do this because I don't want to start the Josh Jacobs thing now. Let's do that next. Even though Hunter did come back with Billy Joel's "We Didn't Start the Fire," we'll do that. Why don't you tell us about American Family Insurance? You had a great time yesterday at the AmFam Championship Pro Am. And we've had a great time with AmFam, who's been with us from the very start.
And we're going to have a great time on Friday. We're heading out for the start of the AmFam Championship. It's going to be a full, fun new deal. And we love the fact American Family Insurance has been a proud partner of Wilde and Tausch from the jump for almost 100 years. They have been committed to making life better with the right home and auto protection, all so you're free to enjoy your dreams. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com.
We'll get to more from Josh Jacobs, or maybe we'll discuss kangaroos on airplanes vaping. I don't know. We'll find out together next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
This is not Billy Joel. This is a newer version of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Fall Out Boy did an updated version. But unlike Billy Joel's, there just doesn't go quite as chronologically as Billy Joel.
All over the map, are they? So Josh Jacobs talked last week, and he talked about a lot of different things that were really interesting. But we did ask him about his comments regarding the Packers' need for a number one wide receiver, which he said while he was at the Super Bowl. And he said in like four different interviews. So it wasn't like he just slipped and said that once. He was pretty committed to that opinion. And some of us were wondering how that went over with the existing wide receivers. If you recall, both Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks had some responses on Twitter, if you remember. And he was asked if he had some conversations with those guys upon his return. Here's how that conversation went last week.
Josh, it's really clear how much you want to win. You make some headlines when you say that this team needs a number one receiver this offseason. I wonder how that affects your dynamic with your teammates, receivers who are already here. Is that tough? Is that something a leader has to do and take on anyways?
Nah, man, it don't affect it at all. I mean, I talk to them guys one-on-one. You know, we have real relationships. You know, even after the comment, I called them and talked to them, you know. So for me, it's just about, you know, pushing them to want to be great, you know. We got a lot of special guys in that room, like a lot of special guys in that room. So for me, it's about just trying to see them to see it in themselves and maximize, you know, their opportunities, because at the end of the day, that's what our team needs. So I believe in all them guys. Should I see the way they came in? I mean, if you've been seeing them in this OTAs, the way that they've been working, you could tell I definitely lit a little fire under them. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like I got the utmost respect, you know, in this building from the guys, just about the way I go about going to work each day. So it's not a big deal. Something we definitely talked about, but yeah. We passed it now.
Did you get any blowback on that?
Not from them.
From any of the guys?
Nah. When we talked about it, like, I don't really want to too much say our conversation, but, like, Jay Reed was like, you know, it's just motivation, you know? So he was like, he said, I understand. We got to prove it. It's motivation. So, and that just is what it is.
They did draft him.
Oh, I didn't quite make it into there. I said they did draft a wide receiver in the first round, so maybe Goody agreed with you, and he laughed, and that was the end of the conversation. Tausch, how do you view that now? Because we certainly talked about it at the time, right? And we talked about how that might be received in the locker room and how his conversations would be when they returned. How do you look at it now with the benefit of hindsight?
I think... You go and do these press hits, you're going to get asked things, and you're going to have to answer. You can't just say, I'm going to pass on that. So I understand where Josh was coming from. To act as if it wasn't a big deal, those guys are obviously, their feelings were a little bit hurt. But I think Josh is at the point where, from a leadership standpoint, he's been a captain. I think last year, I don't remember if he was a captain in the playoffs. You'd have to help me out on that. But leadership is hard, as we discussed yesterday. You're going to say some things. I do wonder how it would go from Josh's end if one of those wide receivers would say, well, we're really, I think, running back. Josh had a really good season, but he doesn't like running out of under center, and our play action game is better, so we need to find a running back that will do that. Or we need to have a running back that's more explosive that will take 20 and 30 yard runs and turn them into 60 and 70 yard touchdowns, which, by the way, Josh has said that's something he wants to get better at. Would he find that criticism the same way than when he was giving it out? And
right.
I know he's older, but I don't think he would probably be that excited about having Jaden Reed or anyone else criticizing and critiquing him. So there is a pecking order. There always is. I think you can spin it and say, yeah, I wanted to light a fire under these guys because I believe in them. That's the right approach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Josh Jacobs is showing really good leadership in saying some hard things and doing it. But I always wonder when that is the case, how is it if that shoe is put on the other foot?
So,
if it's flipped. And maybe Josh would be fine with it. I don't know. I would bet that there'd be a little more sensitivity if that was indeed the case.
Let me do a quick hypothetical, because you would never say something to the media that you regretted saying.
No, in fairness, I'm sure there were times when you go around doing these media appearances or you have it tied in with a softball game or whatever it was, people would ask you what positions you need to draft. And I can remember I probably said, we need to get this, and you don't even think about it. It's just you're kind of just regurgitating because
right.
you don't really – it's like whatever. I just hope – normally my go-to, I hope it's not an offensive lineman.
It's a good
line.
I
hope whoever comes in is going to be a good player, You're going to say some of those things, but that was more pointed than I think maybe a lot of times other players had done.
All right, so just hypothetically, put yourself in Josh Jacobs' spot, and you said what he said, and put yourself in Jaden Reed's spot, and he was saying that about right tackle instead of wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Best way to move past this from each side for you as a player, putting yourself in each of those spots? Because it seems like they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it depends where you're at in your career. If you're a young player, you do just what Jaden Reed said. I'm going to use that as fuel, and I'm going to basically show you that I'm the guy and that I can be that guy and that I'm going to be a huge part of our success moving forward. But there will also be a part of you that's like, well, blank this guy. No, there's just going to be a part of it. It's like, you can move past it. And, again, knowing the relationship that you have and understanding it matters. So I don't know Josh Jacobs' relationship. I would guess that their relationship was fine, but you saw their instant reaction. They did the Eleanor. They felt
right.
their feelings, and they moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm hoping that this is a spark, and this is something that you can go back and basically say, yo, Josh, shove it up your you-know-what. Thank you for the motivation. I needed it, and that bonds you together. That would be awesome, and I think that's the hope of how that whole scenario plays out.
And then you could take a beat, have a meal, and then toast a Coors Light and say, hey, here's to our friendship and here's to our new sheet of paper that we're reading about Coors
here's
Light.
Here's to us from. Winning a championship because I called you out. You know what? Whether you're tailgating, you're enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, and you just need a moment to chill. Crack open that Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered. And it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Make sure those mountains are blue. Yesterday, I had one after the round. It was a hot day, kind of sticky. There had nothing better. 16-ounce silver bullet. The mountains were baby blue. That's when I knew it was chilled to perfection. That's what I had. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Josh Jacobs also talked about urgency, which has been a big buzzword, thanks to what Brian Gutekunst said after the season ended. We'll hear what Josh Jacobs had to say next. It's Wildy and Tausch. I'm going to head to OTA practice momentarily. That kicks off at 11:25, so I will rejoin you and Hunter and Tausch. Then, in the meantime, I did want to get to this because it has been a buzzword throughout the offseason after Goody said it. And, you know, we talked with Josh Jacobs about a lot of things, but the word urgency did come up when we talked to Josh Jacobs, and here is how that part of the conversation went.
Jordan just got done saying, and I'd asked him what he needs to do better, and he said, look, we're here to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're two OTAs in. But can you feel that vibe in the room, and can you see kind of the seeds of a team that's capable of that?
You feel the urgency, for sure. You feel the urgency. You feel a lot of the younger guys growing up. You could definitely feel them coming into their own. You could, like I said, you feel the urgency, the way that the guys are going about practicing and the details and the way that they on top of everything. Like, we've been, like I said, Jordan talks a lot more in the meeting. He asks guys questions and guys' answers and how detailed their answers are into what they're doing lets me know that, like, everybody locked in. Like, it's time, you know? And for me, I'm getting, you know, it's only so much left, so it's definitely time for sure.
I love the fact that he is thinking about his own football mortality and how much longer he has to play. He's played in, I think, 2 playoff games in his career, so he's obviously hungry. I did not use the word urgency. He brought it up. You always talk about, if you're hearing a lot of guys say the same stuff, it means your messaging has gotten through. I don't think it's just Goody. I'm guessing it's LaFleur as well. But is that the case here? Is that a good sign that guys understand the quote-unquote urgency of this season?
I was shocked that when you asked that question that you didn't get an answer of, no, it's not urgent. We're just chilling. No, we're just kind of hanging out.
I didn't ask urgency. I asked them about the vibe.
I think, is what I heard there good? Absolutely. I was laughing as you finished asking the question, thinking, what do you expect him to answer here? I would actually love it if somebody's like, no, man, it's kind of been slacking, man. We've been kind of lazy.
We need to get our blank together.
Around.
Yeah.
But
hey,
I love there's two things that I liked about that answer. The first part is, you mentioned it already, bringing up urgency. You can bet donuts to dollars that has been talked about and regurgitated, and that has been, I'm guessing, will be a theme of the season. You better be urgent, and it's not about, oh, Detroit. It's about urgency with details and getting it. But the other part of it, and this is where, you know, we're talking to, you know, Jordan Love and leadership and all that stuff that we've been blathering about the last, you know, couple shows, when you hear him say examples without you asking, Matt Jordan's doing this, and guys are answering in great detail. Mm-hmm. Jordan is taking that ownership on and calling out and questioning and asking what you guys are doing on these certain plays. That is what I'm excited about. Those are the things, because you can give canned answers. Oh, man, yeah, it's been this. When you get interesting answers like that and get the details of it, is that going to help you win? Yes, those things will help you win. Is every team saying all of this right now in their OTAs and meetings with their reporters? My guess is yes. Does that mean every team is as bought in and is, you know, speaking that same language that their coaches are saying? No. There's plenty of teams that are probably, you know, sitting there saying, well, we're still trying to figure things out. You heard a little bit of that with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson down at Chicago.
Right, right.
But I loved the detail of answer that Josh Jacobs gave him, even though I thought the question was, But again, as you always say, it ain't about the question, it's about the answer, and you got interesting information under the answer. Josh, do you like what Titletown has done? You like how they've built this up? No, I thought that the architecture on this field here is, like, people are going to say what they're going to say. You get what I'm saying?
I don't know if Titletown architecture is a good example, but hey, you gave it a shot. All right, I got to go. Tausch and Hunter are
going
to...
Check out that architecture.
I will keep an eye on that as I drive into the parking lot. Tausch and Hunter are going to do a little Where's Wildy? The answer will be driving to Lambeau Field. And then they're going to play some trivia, and I will rejoin them when practice starts at OTAs at 11:25. I'm out of here. More Wildy and Tausch, though. Straight ahead. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.